Our scripture for this morning is taken from the 23rd chapter of Matthew, first 13 verses. And I'll ask that you read along with me now, just to get you ready for the month of September. I'm going to do something a little different in September. I've already warned my worship crew, Laura and Darwin. I'll be using a different version of Scripture for each Sunday. And it's just simply to introduce us to the fact that there are a number of different versions of Scripture. The interpretations vary very slightly. They do vary a little. But the ones that I'm going to be using are accepted by biblical scholars as all of them are really good. But we're just going to use four different, we got four Sundays, we'll use four different translations of the biblical scripture that I'll be using. So be prepared for that. Bring all four Bibles with you and be ready to do it. I don't remember exactly which ones I'm going to use, but I believe I'll probably use the NIV, which is today's scripture, and then I'll use the ESV. How many of you are familiar with the ESV? That's the English Standard Version, and it is one of the most popular these days with younger people. It is very, very accurate, very, very readable. I think you'll enjoy it. I'm using the Christian Standard Bible, which is the one that the Southern Baptists have just put out beginning in March of this year. And I think I'm also using the New American Standard, the NASB. So we'll be using four. Using the NASB in honor of Laura, who reads the NASB. And it's a very, very good version. Very good, very accurate, very, very readable. All right, so this is from the New International Version, the NIV. And the NIV is currently the most popular Bible in the world. It is the best-selling Bible in the world. And many, many people using it. Excellent, excellent translation. Matthew 23, verse 1, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries. Now, phylacteries are little boxes they put on their foreheads that they put scripture verses in. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. And I'd like to ask you to allow me the privilege of adding the second part of one more verse, and this is from Matthew 6, verse 5b, the end of verse 5. And that simply reads, "Do not be like the hypocrites." Well, first of all, as we start now with the message, the sermon of this morning, I'm going to start off with an quote, "I think." I'm usually pretty cautious about that statement, "I think," and particularly in the context of a sermon, because what I think is not terribly important when we're focusing on God's Word, which should always be, I think, the most important ideas of a Christian sermon. Well, that out of the way, I had this thought about my choice of today's sermon title, "The Folly of Hypocrisy." And as I thought about it, I wasn't sure about that as a title because, and here comes the "I think." Because I think folly is not a word that we use very much anymore. And so my solution is to get us clear on what I mean by folly. Excessive foolishness or extravagant or overly pretentious actions or conduct designed to improperly impress or falsely gain others' praise. That's folly. And so as Jesus was critical of the hypocrisy that he saw going on all around him, his criticism, the folly that he assigned to the religious hypocrisy, was that it was extravagant, it was excessive, it was arrogant, it was pretentious. It was not reality. It was only for show and only being done to receive the mistaken, the misinformed, the gullible praise of the onlookers. And while Jesus was here criticizing the religious leaders, the most outrageous hypocrites of his day, beyond that, anyone who is a hypocrite is a person who intends to deceive with the hope of some selfish advantage by that deception. So Jesus said of the religious leaders, and these are the ones the common Israelites were supposed to look up to. Jesus, in essence, said, "That right there, the way you see them doing, is false actions designed to impress you on their behalf and is not the way God wants you to be and to act." Jesus said it as he pointed those people out and what they were doing. He said it very simply, but with all of the meaning involved. And that was what he had said, Matthew 6, "Do not be like the hypocrites." So this is what I'm going to do for the next few minutes. I'm going to point out actions of doing hypocritical things. If you act that way, point out what happens if you're hypocritical. If you act that way and then who you need to watch out for as you seek to avoid hypocrisy in your own life and in your own actions. And for appropriate emphasis, I intend to wrap up each thought with these concise words of Jesus: "Do not be like the hypocrites." Now, as our scripture lesson from this morning from Matthew 23 tells us very clearly, Jesus is evaluating and critical of the overt actions of the religious leaders around him. He knew their goal was to proclaim, "This is the way God wants you to live, like me, like what I'm doing now." And certainly our greatest goal in life is to believe, to act, to live in the way God wants us to live. That fact right there is in God's message to us from the very beginning, from Genesis 1. God has created mankind, created you, created me, in his own image. Therefore, the best I can do in all of my life is to be a reflection of the glory of God, to really be in His image in every way possible in this earthly life. Jesus did. As the earthly man, Jesus did that. And that's why we are to seek Jesus-likeness, Christ-likeness, every day, every moment of our earthly lives. So when the religious leaders of Jesus' day were acting out, look at me, the best you can do is do what I do, live like I live, that was so wrong. That was so much folly. Religious leaders are never to put on a show and invite others to live Pharisee-like, preacher-like, deacon-like, Sunday school teacher-like. We are only to observe how God in Christ lived and thus to strive to live Christ-like. In Matthew 23, that we just read, and in Matthew 6, the part around verse 5, and the phrase, do not be like the hypocrites, that's what I'm going to keep repeating. There, in all of that, Jesus very graciously makes the assumption that those who are hearing Him, the crowd, the disciples, as He's talking to, were not yet hypocrites. His message was, if you are not a hypocrite, don't act like one. Now, the Greek word for hypocrite means an actor, a player on the stage acting out a role that person is not. It was customary for the times of ancient plays for actors to wear masks. They were in reality not what their faces said they were. An actor in a play, however, is not really considered a hypocrite because the audience knows of the deception. Similarly, much that passes for good manners among us involves some deception. Like, for instance, when you meet a friend and you exchange greetings and his or her, how are you today, doesn't anticipate you're giving a list of the symptoms that you're suffering from or the medicines that you've taken. And when you reply, well, I'm fine, even though you have a splitting headache and you're just not feeling good at all, the deception can hardly be considered as hypocrisy. On the other hand, the hypocrisy condemned in our scripture has much more severe and misleading purposes of the hypocrite personally benefiting from an ungodlike deception. So you probably got it by now. But here are some very specific identifications of the hypocrites of Jesus' day and also hypocrites in our day. Hypocrites want and seek praise they don't deserve. An early incident as a part of the Sermon on the Mount discourse that I've just taken from the Matthew 6:5 phrase is a full description of hypocrites by Jesus. Read, if you will, Matthew 6:1-18. He tells them what hypocrites are. He said they did their religious acts in front of people for the sole purpose of being applauded. One gave lots of money, but just for show. Another one was one who managed to be very visible at a public place, praying loudly at the hour of prayer. Another made sure that people knew every time he was fasting. Acts 5:1-11 records the sad experience that we know from Ananias and Sapphira. They wanted credit for a generosity they had not actually produced, so much so that they lied about their gift. What folly. Matthew 6:5. Do not be like the hypocrites. And hypocrites usually are quite adept at picking out flaws in others while overlooking their own glaring defects. By putting others down, they intend to elevate their own image. Jesus pictured such a hypocrite in the 7th chapter of Matthew that we read recently by his word pictures of the eye and the large pole and the splinter. You remember that one. That was in Matthew 7. Just before that, Matthew 6:5, Jesus said, "Don't be like the hypocrites." Hypocrites are morally dishonest. They love to ask questions which they're not really seeking answers for. Their questions are constructed to embarrass the leadership of another person, usually a teacher, while otherwise showing how smart they are. A great example displaying this hypocrisy is in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, Jesus answered him, better than he deserved. Simply by asking this expert in the law what the law he himself venerated, that he was so taken aback that he then had to say that law was the answer to his own question. Another example is in Matthew 22. Jesus had just finished telling a story about who was invited and who was not invited to a wedding, and the story angered the listening Pharisees. And so we read, starting with verse 15, "Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words." Later, they came back to Jesus and listen to their hypocrisy-dripping words. I'm going to kind of make these drip a little, okay? This is Matthew 22. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you're a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are." And then they spring their gotcha question about whether or not to pay taxes to Caesar. Well, this one ends well, as it always does with Jesus. Verse 18, "But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, 'You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me?'" Matthew 6:5 says, "Do not be like the hypocrites." And other hypocrites are ones who seek to deceive others. Cheaters are hypocrites. It's not hard. It's not hard to not cheat. Business is operated on the basis of fairness, not cheating to gain. That goods will be as advertised. That weights and measures will be honest. That contracts will be fulfilled as agreed. School is operated on the assumption that everyone will do his or her own work. Sports are conducted on the assumption that individuals and teams will play according to the rules. Those who cheat seek an advantage to which they are not entitled while trying to leave the impression that they are following the rules. Liars are hypocrites. Society, all of our society, is built on the assumption that people speak the truth. Thieves are hypocrites. People living in community expect others to respect property rights. Those who steal are not only guilty of stealing, but also of the hypocrisy of appearing to have the integrity of innocence, while all the while they're guilty. Matthew 6:5. Do not be like the hypocrites. Well, what really happens while any and all hypocrisy is eating away at the truth? What are the results of hypocrisy? Actually, and to their detriment, hypocrites may fool people enough to get some temporary gain. For a time, they may receive applause from people and thus be encouraged to continue, even build upon their hypocrisy. They may enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, usually a very short season. Short because universal truth is sin has a way of finding you out. It's universal because it's scriptural. Numbers 32:23, Proverbs 28:13, Luke 12:2, Galatians 6:7, many more scriptures. All of those scriptures noting that no sin, including the falseness of hypocrisy, is hidden from God. Matthew 6:5, do not be like the hypocrites. Hypocrites, unless they repent and are saved and hence cease to be hypocrites, hypocrites are going to jail, going to hell. Jesus' solemn denunciation of the hypocrites in Matthew 23 climaxes with these powerful words: "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?" How much bigger a fool could a person be than to think he or she can fool God? What folly. Matthew 6:5. Do not be like the hypocrites. Well, perhaps the saddest type of hypocrite is the unsaved person who does not have enough relationship with God to understand that he or she has hypocritical ways in their life. The hypocrite doesn't know it. Almost all, if not actually all, unsaved people, and check me out on this, often rejoice and enjoy God's creation, this earth, and people they know, and people they like, and people they even love. And they'll talk or just even think about how great it all is, but do not, they will not credit the Creator and give him the glory and their thanks by submitting to his will and to his ways. And that's hypocritical. It's what absolute folly. Matthew 6:5, do not be like the hypocrites. Like a God acknowledging hypocrite. Like somebody who acknowledges God and says they're saved. An unsaved person is continually acting on the assumption that God can be fooled. So is the God-acknowledging hypocrite, acting on that same assumption. But Galatians 6:7 speaks directly to that, whether the unsaved person ever reads it or not. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Matthew 6:5, do not be like the hypocrites. And like a God-believing hypocrite, that's almost an oxymoron, isn't it? An unsaved person's life is influenced, and his influence is hypocritical against God. For some unsaved people, they're proud. They actually boast of their badness. You know the type. But that is innately hypocritical against God, the good God who created them. Declared badness does not make it goodness. Matthew 6:5, do not be like the hypocrites. Like an unrepentant hypocrite, the unsaved person, the epitome of hypocrisy against the God who created him or her, that unrepentant hypocrite is going to hell. Consider the parable of the two servants, the one faithful and one evil one, and I'll call this one the unsaved servant. This is Matthew 24. Christ's very descriptive parable there finishes out with the unsaved evil servant placing him squarely in the category of the hypocrites. Verse 48, but what if the servant is evil and thinks my master won't be back for a while, and he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk? The master will return unannounced and unexpectedly, and he will cut the servant to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What absolute folly. Matthew 6:5, do not be like the hypocrites. Well, how about some good news? Ready for some good news? Always, just like the religious one who is a hypocrite, the unsaved person, those two, the same kind, they're still the object of God's love and concern. Jesus died to save all sinners who will abandon the hypocrisy of refusing the lordship of Christ. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost, even the hypocrites. But Matthew 6:5, do not be like the hypocrites. At the end of the day, well, as the beginning of each day also, we should examine ourselves. If you determine you're not a hypocrite, be on your watch and do not act like one. If you examine realistically and find you actually are being a hypocrite, stop being a pretending person and just be real and become a Christian. The wonderful truth of the gospel is the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, including the sin of hypocrisy. And so every day, dear ones, strive to live out Matthew 6:5. Do not be like the hypocrites.